We are Sheffield Community Church, where we represent God to the lost and found. This is the podcast of our Sunday service. We hope this message blesses you and leads you to a better life.
This morning I'm starting a new series entitled Next Level Attitude. Next Level Attitude. And I want to speak on the topic, the power of a positive attitude. The power of a positive attitude. If you could just turn your Bibles to the book of Numbers, chapter 13. I'm reading from Numbers, chapter 13, and I'll read from verse 25 through to 33. At the end of 40 days, they returned from spying out the land, and they came to Moses and Aaron and to all the congregation of all the people of Israel in the wilderness of Paran at Kadesh. They brought back word to them and to all the congregation and showed them the fruit of the land. And they told him, "We came to the land to which you sent us. It flows with milk and honey. This is the fruit. However, the people who dwell in the land are strong, and the cities are fortified and very large. And besides, we saw the descendants of Anak there. The Amalekites dwell in the land of the Negeb. The Hittites, the Jebusites, and the Amorites dwell in the hill country. And the Canaanites dwell by the sea and along the Jordan." Verse 30. But Caleb quieted them, the people, before Moses and said, "Let us go up at once and occupy it, for we are well able to overcome it." Then the men who had gone with him said, "We are not able to go up against the people, for they are stronger than we are." So they brought to the people of Israel a bad report of the land that they had spied out, saying, "The land through which we have gone to spy it out is a land that devours its inhabitants, and all the people that we saw in it are of great height." Verse 33. "And there we saw the Nephilim, the sons of Anak, who came from the Nephilim, and we seemed to ourselves like grasshoppers, and so we seemed to them." Philippians chapter 2, verse 5. Philippians chapter 2, verse 5. Your attitude should be the same as that of Christ Jesus. May the Lord bless the reading of his word. This is the story of the children of Israel. God had delivered them from the land of Egypt, where they were in slavery for more than 400 years. And now they were in the wilderness. So they've been in this wilderness for 40 years, and they are just about within striking distance of the promised land. But before they advance into the promised land, God instructs Moses to select 12 men from the 12 tribes of Israel. And these men were to go and explore the land of Canaan and come back with a report which they had gathered from there. The mission was so successful after 40 days that they even brought some exhibits from the promised land. They came back with some grapes that needed two people to carry them. It was a very good land that they had seen. And they testified to it that this land actually flows with milk and honey. However, at the end of this mission, the 12 spies came back with two different reports. Why did one team sent with one mission come back with two different reports? What could have happened during the mission out there in the 40 days that they were away? Something changed. And I can almost imagine Moses thinking, what happened to this team of 12 men that made them come back with two very, very different reports? As far as we can tell from the story we just read, we can see that attitudes changed. The theme scripture for this series is taken from Philippians chapter 2, verse 5, which reads, "Your attitude should be the same as that of Christ Jesus. And we want to take a closer look at this story of the 12 spies to try and understand how their attitude changed along the way. And as we go through this series, maybe for the next 3-5 weeks, we'll be looking closer at how our attitudes can line up with that of Christ Jesus our Lord. But for today, we just want to learn a few things from the example set by these 12 spies. And there are three lessons I want to draw out from this text today. Number one lesson is this: your attitude makes a big difference to your life. In verse 25 of Numbers 13, it says, at the end of 40 days, they returned from spying out the land. Can you imagine that it took 40 days for the 10 spies that came back with a negative report to transition from a positive attitude to a negative attitude? Just 40 days. The change was swift, it was shocking, and it was profound. It had a devastating effect on these 10 spies because, as we read the story, they never recovered from it. In fact, they abandoned their destinies. It cost them their lives. They died in an untimely fashion and they missed the promised land. And the reason that happened was because their attitude changed. And when your attitude changes, it makes a big difference to your life. You see, your attitude shapes your life. It also determines your destiny. Whether you are aware of it or not, attitude has an impact on your life. Your attitude can make you or break you. Your attitude can draw people to you or repel them from you. Your attitude can make you friends or make you enemies. Your attitude can also make you a failure or a success. And we can see from the story of these 10 spies that they missed their destiny because they chose to change their attitude. In just 40 days, they became different men. And my question this morning, as we start, is what is your attitude towards yourself? What is your attitude towards your family, your spouse, your job? What is your attitude towards your church or even other people? Would you describe your attitude as being positive or negative? These are rhetoric questions. You don't need to answer them as I speak. But I want you to think and reflect. You and I have a choice to make every day, whether we cultivate a positive or a negative attitude. That is our choice. But after 40 days, something will begin to show. Will it be negative or positive? I pray that it will be positive. My prayer is that we will move towards a positive attitude and stay far away from a negative attitude. Because a negative attitude is poisonous. It can cause us to act and react in destructive ways that we will regret later. But when we have a positive attitude, it is associated with love, with creativity, and with a can-do approach that gives us the boldness to face life with enthusiasm. In an environment we live in today, with so much death happening, so much sickness, surrounded by a pandemic that is threatening to cut across every nation in the globe, such an environment is so full of negativity. You turn on the TV or any, you look at any direction, the topic and the agenda is one: how many people died? How do we keep positive? How can we overcome the negativity that we're surrounded with? I bet that's a question we're all asking today. One thing for certain is that a positive attitude is not something that will just come to us automatically. It is something that we must want and pursue diligently. But you know, we are not without help. Jesus Christ is our Savior and our model, and He is able to help us claim and activate a positive life. It is Jesus who said that, "I've come that you may have life and have this life in abundance." So I want to encourage us today that may we pursue this life. May we desire to have this life, a positive life that will change and transform our destinies. So this is what we learn from this story of the 12 spies, that your attitude makes a big difference to your life. There is a second lesson we can learn from this story. And the second lesson is this: your attitude is always your choice. In verse 26 of Numbers chapter 13, the Bible tells us that they brought back word from their mission in the land of Canaan. And remember that their mission was to gather information only. These were the instructions that they were given by Moses. And these 12 spies were not just ordinary people. These were leaders that were known by their community. They probably grew up together in the same neighborhood. They grew under one leader, Moses. But when they returned from their mission, there was a majority report which was compiled by the 10 spies. But there was also a minority report compiled by two spies, Caleb and Joshua. The majority report was presented first, but it was so disheartening. It was filled with gloom and doom, and it unleashed a wave of fear that swept across the whole camp to the extent that people started grumbling. They were so angry with the leadership, and they were saying, "We're not going anywhere," just from that one report. And it is these 10 spies that went to scout and explore the land that took it upon themselves to decide for Israel whether or not the whole nation was strong enough to go and take the land. Now, that decision was not part of what they were asked to do. They were just tasked to go and explore the land and gather information. The decision of whether or not Israel was strong enough to go and take the land was not theirs. In fact, they based that decision on a foundation called attitude. And not just attitude, but a negative attitude. And from that foundation of a negative attitude that was built over 40 days, they wanted to determine the destiny of the people of Israel based on that faulty foundation. I don't know today whether you are building your life on a negative foundation, on a negative attitude foundation. If that is your case, if that is your story this morning, that is a dangerous foundation to build your life on. God had given them promises. God had given them promises which were more than centuries old, that he will give them the promised land. And here they were, where they were making a decision that was above their pay grade. Only God could make a decision to do with their destinies. In the same way today, only God can make a decision about your destiny. It cannot be made by your teacher. That decision cannot be made by your parent. That decision cannot even be made by your friend. It's a decision that only God can make, because your destiny is in God's hand and not in man's hand. Isn't it amazing that these spies, when they came back from their mission, 40-day mission, they left the camp with hope, but they came back hopeless. They left with dreams and promises from God, but they came back with nightmares of giants in the promised land. They left as an elite team of spies, courageous spies, but they came back as a frightened swarm of grasshoppers. They left with overflowing faith, faith based on the promises of God, but they came back with excuses and disbelief. You see, God was not yet done. He will not allow a negative attitude to derail his plans and purposes for the people of God. All that he had now was to build on a minority report. And a minority report came from Caleb and Joshua. This minority report was very inspiring. It was full of hope. It was full of faith. And it was full of courage. How many of you know that? It doesn't really matter whether you're in the minority or majority. But when you are with God, that makes your day. When you are with God, that changes your destiny. As many people as they can oppose you, but when you stand with God, your destiny will come to pass. Every promise of God will be fulfilled. You have nothing to be afraid of when God is on your side. So Joshua and Caleb, even though they were a minority, God was on their side. And you know that when you are presenting a minority report, you provoke a lot of people. When you have a minority report, many people don't like it. In fact, you make many enemies. But I would rather make many enemies and be a friend of God than make an enemy with God and be friends with everybody. So what shall it be for you today? You see, no matter what is happening in your life or what people are doing to you, you always have a choice of what attitude to wear. You always have a choice of what attitude to take. It is your responsibility to choose how you will react, whether positive or negative. What shall it be for you today? Caleb and Joshua chose a positive attitude in the midst of unrelenting opposition. In the midst of being accused and being castigated and being opposed, they stood by the minority reports because God was on their side. Whose side are you on today? Here is the final lesson, lesson number 3, that we can learn from this story. Your attitude can affect your identity. Your attitude does affect your identity. We are told in the story of chapter Numbers 13, if you read from verse 31 to 33, I'll paraphrase this. After Caleb had presented his minority report, the 12 spies then chip in with their own report once more. And this is what they say in verse 31. We can't attack these people. And what's the reason for that? The reason is very simple, according to them. They are stronger than we are. And not only that, they go on to say, the land which they went, which God gave to them, they say, this land devours its inhabitants. And not only that, they go on to say that, the people that live there that we saw are of great size. They are giants. And because they were giants, they saw themselves as grasshoppers. And indeed, they seemed to be so to them. When the 10 spies started to compare themselves to the giants in the promised land, they were overcome by fear. Do you know that God never intended for us to play the comparison game? Every time we compare ourselves to someone, we are setting ourselves for defeat. We cannot win a game of comparing ourselves with people that are not like us. You see, nobody on the face of the planet is like you. You were created as an original. You are not a carbon copy of anybody. There is a certain DNA that God has put inside of you that makes you a distinct person with an assignment, with a mission, with a mandate that only you can accomplish with God's help. It doesn't matter who you face in life. It doesn't matter who is intimidating you. It doesn't matter how many mountains or obstacles you face. When God has called you for a mission, that mission will be accomplished with God's help. We don't need to play the comparison game, because when we compare ourselves to others, we introduce a new word to our kingdom vocabulary. And God never intended us to use that word wherever He is concerned. Here is how they introduced the word. In verse 31, they used a new word that God had not used before. They said, "We can't attack these people. They are stronger than we are." The new word that they introduced to the kingdom vocabulary is the word "can't." How many of you know that "can't" never did anything to anybody? Even in the story we read, it accomplished nothing for them. So what makes us think that this word "can't" will accomplish something for us today? That word does not produce results. That word does not exist where God is concerned. The Bible says we can do all things through Christ who strengthens us. "Can't" cannot be a part of our vocabulary as God's children. "Can't" has consequences, and they are negative. Notice what happens when they start using the word "can't." They started to look at themselves in a new way. They had a new identity that they began to develop, because they were now looking at themselves in comparison to people that God had said, I'm getting rid of from that land, and I'm giving you that land. But they looked at these people, and then they started comparing themselves and saying, those people are better than us. Those people are stronger than us. Those people can do much more than us. They totally forgot who they were in Christ. See, we are made in the image of God, the Bible tells us. And because they had a faulty image coming out of their negative attitude, they began to see themselves from a grasshopper mentality. What is a grasshopper mentality? A grasshopper mentality is a mentality that refuses to see beyond the level of hopping from one place to another and yet locked in the same level. It's a mentality that refuses to break out of its limitations, and it is locked into a law of gravity that refuses for you to go beyond a certain level in your life. You see, as long as you have a grasshopper mentality, you are living in the realm of physical laws. But our God is spirit, and when God breaks into your realm, all of a sudden, there are possibilities that could happen, because impossibilities are broken out of your life. You are now living in a life that's linked to a God who is a God of the impossible. And things that you thought you could not do, you are now able to do, because you have accessed the power of God that breaks every physical law in order for His purposes to be accomplished. You can ask Joshua, because at one point when he was fighting the Amalekites, God had to hold the sun to stand still for the sake of His glory, for the sake of victory that brought glory to His name. So what are the impossibilities that you are facing today? Are they founded on a negative attitude or something else? If they are founded on a negative attitude, then you are building your life on a grasshopper mentality, and there are negative consequences to that. The Bible is very clear. Each one of us is fearfully and wonderfully made. So we are made in the image of God. We are of God. We are from God. We are made in God. And with God, there is nothing impossible. We have only one person of your kind on this whole earth. Get used to that idea and start living your life on that level of revelation, that you are from God. You are of God. you are made for the purposes of God. God's premises are strong. God's promises can be claimed by men and women of faith. Caleb and Joshua were men of faith. They were not trying to live a life on behalf of somebody else. They were not trying to be like somebody else. They looked themselves from the identity they had from the beginning, which is an identity founded in God. And therefore they stood up and they said, "Let us go up at once and occupy the land. We are able to overcome it," because they saw themselves from an identity founded in God. So they looked for the good and they found it. They looked for the possibilities and they saw them. They believed in the God of the impossible and they were prepared to step out by faith and crush any negative attitude that they might have had or that they had had from their friends, the 10 spies. The promised land was a possibility. The promised land became a reality because of two men that had a positive attitude to the promises of God. It is absolutely amazing what God can do with a man or a woman who has faith and has a positive attitude to the promises of God. I want to close today by asking a few questions. What kind of person are you? Are you the kind of person that looks at God's promises and walks away with a negative attitude? Or are you the kind of person that looks at God's promises and then you look at the reality of what you are facing today and choose to believe the promises of God in the midst of a negative world? What kind of person are you this morning? Are you a possibility thinker or an impossibility thinker? What kind of a person are you today? Do you know of anyone who became a success by having a negative attitude? I know of some people who have a positive attitude most of the time. I also know of some people who usually have a negative attitude sometimes. But I also know one person who has always, does have, and will always have a perfect, most beautiful, positive attitude. His name is Jesus Christ. Paul tells us in the book of Philippians, he's encouraging us and he says, your attitude should be the same as that of Christ Jesus. Paul is opening a world of possibilities for us here. Paul is saying, it is possible to have a positive attitude. It is something we can do. It can happen to us today. You can ask the Holy Spirit today, right now. You can ask Him to help you to become like Jesus Christ. You can ask the Holy Spirit to give you a hand in helping you to begin to cultivate a positive attitude. The attitude of Jesus that was full of gratitude, that was full of optimism, that was generous, that was kind, that was loving, that was gentle. You can have this attitude. Jesus can give you this attitude today. You can pray now and ask God to adjust your attitude. The bottom line is that when your attitude is adjusted in the power of the Holy Spirit, it becomes better. In fact, you begin to enjoy an abundant and joyful life. In these times of lockdown with your family, the atmosphere in your household will begin to change. I can assure you that when your attitude improves and becomes like that of Jesus, people will notice you. Your spouse will notice you. Your daughter will take note of that. Your son will begin to see the difference it makes. Your neighbors will take note of the change that's happening inside of you. Your family, your workmates, and your colleagues, they will make comments that she's changed. She's not the same person anymore. Something has happened. I can assure you that in 40 days, when your attitude begins to be positive, you begin to see possibilities where there were impossibilities. You begin to replace doubts with faith. You begin to replace hopelessness with hope. You begin to stand and declare the promises of God wherever you are. Where you see sickness, you speak healing in Jesus' name. Where you see depression, you speak hope in Jesus' name. I can assure you that in 40 days of declaring the promises of God over your life, your attitude will change. Your atmosphere will change. Your home will be a place of refuge. Your home will be attractive to your neighborhood, to your sons and daughters, to your spouse. You will begin to be a new person and you will overcome. You will claim the promises of God and watch your life change. Watch your life transform. Watch your attitude change from negative to positive. And I'd like to take a moment to pray before we close this podcast today. Would you join me on this journey of attitude adjustment? I'd like you to log in next week this Sunday as we continue in this journey of attitude adjustment, in this journey to the promised land. Your promised land could be a place where you sense God break through and heal you. Your promised land could be a place where God will open doors for you to get a job if you've lost one. To be in a place where your home is a place of peace. That could be your promised land. I can tell you today that all these are possible through Jesus Christ our Lord. I'd like to take a moment to pray for you. Father, I thank you for those that are hearing this message today. That Lord God, you may take us on this journey. Spirit of God, begin to change atmospheres right now. Atmospheres beginning with our hearts, where we are, Lord, right now. May you change the dial in our hearts. May we move and transition from negativity to positivity through Christ Jesus Christ, through our Lord and Savior Jesus. That, my God, you may come into our hearts and do a spiritual surgical operation. Change something within us. Transform us, O God, that we may have hope where we are hopeless. That we may bring healing where there is sickness. That, my Lord, you may remove depression where there is depression this morning. May your healing come through. May your peace that surpasses all understanding break into somebody's world today, that they may experience your peace. In the name that is above all other names, that, Lord God, you may break into our homes. That, Lord God, you may break into our hearts. We invite you this morning. Say, would you come in and dine with us and change our lives forever? In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Thank you for joining us today. I pray that you are blessed today. And I also pray that as you listen to this message over and over, that you will hear God speak into your life. And that you'll never be the same woman or same man. May the Lord richly bless you today. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
If God is transforming your life through this podcast, take courage and visit us in person. We would love to meet you and get to know you more. Thank you for listening. Hope to see you soon.